qualities is being applied, and for that I have a lot of respect for the gentleman I'm introducing. So he is a political scientist with a PhD in political theory. I mean, that's a very difficult thing to have a political science degree. And in recent times, he's moved to at the University of Ghana. He's now in Tarare. And he's asked me to say that he's a subject of my name is here. And he's passionate about Tarare. And he wants Tarare to be of a higher civilization. I know his passion. He's so much into technology and several other issues. And I'm looking forward to a very wonderful discussion. Let's put our hands together for Dr. Amos.
Things, issues, and elections. Is an instrument actually that is developed in the context of the national election study in America. My use of that instrument was that, well, issues are of some importance in Ghana, but you see, in political science, and the whole issue about the political science of issue or economic election, economic voting, is a very dynamic area. There's a way in which you can say that we have a soft approach to issues. In Kwame's in the discussion with Zakari, I made a point that it has become a bit more topical following President Mahama's interview on Metro TV. When Nana Akufo-Addo says that I am not a thief, that's a very loaded statement. What it means, of course, as the President rightly pointed out, is that perhaps somebody else in this election is a thief. But more importantly, when you say that I'm not a thief, in ordinary terms, you must ask, what is this man saying? We are talking about issues, we are talking about personal characteristics. But of course, that has issue meaning. I've been studying elections since 1992. In point of fact, just about a week ago, I was grounding with my people in Prempeh, in my focus group, some of whom I've been studying since 1992. And these are very ordinary people. And the way they approach these issues, yes, certainly, and I respect what Dr. Martin was saying. I mean, my personal position on this cottage industry, on whatever. I mean, it has to be done. I mean, I myself, I'm part of it. I mean, I'm going to be working with the Institute of Democratic Governance and the Servitorium Initiative. And I'm sure we'll end up doing similar things. But my point is that there is the science and there is the art. So you have to know or have to approximation of the scientific situation and then try and act to actually put it in effect. My position as I sit here is that it's going to be very, very difficult for these oil and gas issues to be salient to this election.
Thank you very much.
It's yeah. If you Google Oceans Project, the Oceans Project was a project between The Economist magazine, The World Bank, The Economist magazine, The World Bank, and of course National Geographic. And I can tell you, that was a project. They came here, we went around the whole country for about 3 days. And out of that Houghton, they did a 5 minute video. And out of that 5 minutes, Nananke Chia was featured for about 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes. Then they went and did a dinner in Singapore. For that dinner, the price per head was $25,000 to attend the dinner. Well, but more seriously, I mean, I've been studying fishermen. I mean, I go to Disco a lot in point of fact. This Saturday, before I go to the Kundum in Azim, I'm going to Disco. Our fishermen have a very, very clear idea of the impacts. The confusion is in our minds. We are much more confused than voters.
Thank you. Moses, is it the case, again, that maybe in your reporting on this oil and gas?
In silence, Moses as well. I have a tradition in Tarare. I put the most important people in Tarare on what I call the green wall of Tarare. And I guess we posted Moses, my Hall of Fame on it. A second point is I noticed Moses has a quarrel with my senior, Phil Money. On the journalist award, and we will talk about that privately. But when I spoke at Kwame's program a few months ago, my interest in almost forcing myself on that program was to explain myself about something that I said about the media. My position on the Ghanaian media is that what we have in Ghana today is the growth of media and the underdevelopment of journalism. What we have in Ghana today is the growth of media and the underdevelopment of journalism. I follow most of his writings very, very closely, and I think it's absolutely deserved that he's the emeritus winner of your GGA award. But at the same time, the house style of the graphic is absolutely terrible. I mean, I consistently criticize the graphic because I consume newspapers a lot. Now, if you compare the graphic to, let's say, a Kenyan or a Nigerian newspaper, a point of fact, I mean, when we had the anniversary of the GBC station here, Nnamdi Nketiah gave a very, very powerful, presentation. And as I said, the loyal agent of Nnamdi Nketiah, that speech is on my internet. The press, the media houses, the house styles of the houses, and as I don't remember whether it was Steve or Moses was saying that, essentially the press is commerce driven. The most important, I do a lot of political risk analysis. As we sit here in Ghana, the most dangerous element in Ghana today is the media. We have a very, just this morning, I put on my Facebook, that we have a more than even chance of having a war situation on our hands after the election. And I would say that about 70% of the causation of that is the media. And it's actually about pots and pans, especially radio, commercial radio. They are all struggling for the greatest sensation to get the most adverts, and so on and so forth. Let me respond very, very briefly to something else that Dr. Mantu said. My other hat is in the creative economy. In point of fact, we have a tradition on the 1st of May in Scuddy. On every 1st of May, we organize a concert. The last 1st of May, we had J.T. Blay Ambele. I am the pro bono manager of Ebo Taylor. Obuo is my student. I played a significant role in the $2 million. As far as I'm concerned, it is absolutely required. In fact, they require much, much more. Look, let me be very blunt with you. These things you are doing here, it has much less effect than what the creative industry can do. Thank you.
Okay, just on that point, can I just ask whether the money is being used in a way...
Well, the study has been done. The study has been done by KPMG. It's budgeted. I mean, I take great exception to that. In point of fact, Obuo is not my candidate. My candidate for the musical presidency, in ultimate time, and this time was J.D. Blay Ambele. But I take great exception to that.
Very well. Now, so, we are live, as I said earlier, we are live on Star FM in Accra, we are live on Portsmouth in Kumasi, we are live again on Empire here in Tamale. We are also inviting our listeners and those of you here to tweet and be part of this discussion. It's hashtag GHWorld2016. Hashtag GHWorld2016. Well, we continue with our discussion on the issue. We really want to drag the issue of the debate about the...
It is not to drag it, but to make the point that I do respect the views of my good friend, Dr. Amos Ayubi, and to also say that this is precisely the debate we should be having, whether this is the most prudent use of our oil money. That is his view. And you also have your views. And I think once we debate them, we'll come to a certain conclusion as to whether or not we are making the best use of our money. So I respect that view. But let me just make a quick comment about something that was said by Moses, and it relates to how we advance our local content interests. He made reference to the pre-discovery case and how we consume Ghanaian food and all that, and suddenly we realized that they were not good for us in the standardized goods. I cite a particular case of CityLink. That airline is no more. But during the exploration phase, CityLink provided air freight services. The point about that was made by Dr. Ayimedu, and he said we should not underestimate the sophistication of the Ghanaian. That point really resonates with me. Recently, on a dissemination activity that was undertaken by Jack in the Eastern region, a 75-year-old lady, a farmer, asked the panel, "Gentlemen, you have come here for So a lot of the times they come, they mount the campaign platform, talk to us and go. But how can citizens get the opportunity to ask them questions and get answers from them?
Well, I think this is the best time. This is our Yenkuku the Wasu. That's up. And now if you listen, I think the politicians have become extra attentive. But more seriously, let me say, as I said before, that you see, there's a science and an art to this. And in point of fact, as far as I understand, you might, I know in Ghanaian media studies, the master concept is a very old-fashioned, outdated concept for agenda setting. There are many more important concepts. For instance, I remember in 1997, I did a public lecture and a faculty lecture later on, trying to look at the media in Ghana within terms of Habermas's communicative action. These are the sort of spectrums we should understand, begin to lose track. But what I want to say is that Ghana is not a democracy. Ghana is not a democracy. I would want to read something from Bernard Crick. Actually, about two months ago, I discovered from my former student, Rafael Kia, Harry Hay from Benjamin. That's unknown to me. My nickname, my legal was Crick. I'm very, very honored to have that nickname. Because Bernard Crick, who passed in Scotland a few years ago, was one of the most important political theorists. But let me tell you, I push you on Crick because when I was taught political science by Professor Kukumiye Folsom, there's no way you could have even begun political science without absolutely mastering Crick. This is one of the last ones that Bernard Crick wrote. That democracy is a necessary element in good. Democracy is a necessary element in good. Sorry. I hear this one.
Essentially,
what Crick is arguing is that democracy is a necessary ingredient in good government, but democracy is not sufficient for good government. It's much more important to focus on citizenship. In Ananke Tia's book on the African paradigm, he does an etymological study of the meaning of our equivalent for governments in our Akan language. When we refer to government as Apan, that has a very serious meaning. If you go to all the forts and castles, they all have very secure roles. So the very factor that we take government as an externality. Anyway, I mean, as he says in his book, I mean, essentially, in most Ghanaian languages, they say, we don't carry, well, no, we'll do better. But, and that is not, I mean, there is a lot of over-exaggeration of service in this country. That's a very fundamental barrier to understanding who we are. There are a few very good surveys in this country, like the Afro-Barometer survey. But consistently, the media absolutely misunderstands the process. Professor Ansu Cherry, who I suspect is still in the School of Communication Studies, has a very important article on how to report surveys in Ghana. You know, as I said, I will return to the point that from all the studying of politics that I've done, the ordinary people are quite sophisticated. We have a society where there's actually a mixed society, a very complicated situation. You have a very traditional society, and you have a quite ineffective modern state superimposed on that society. The problem in Ghana, which I've argued, well, I don't know if you took my course on state and society, actually my most important theoretical point is that there is insufficient formation of the states in Ghana. You see, when I talk to my fishermen, when they go to Cote d'Ivoire, there are a lot of laws there. When they go to Cote d'Ivoire, they have to register their boats, just like you register a number for your car. The government in Ghana has been trying to do the same thing for about 10 years, and it has not succeeded. The fact that the state is so rigged very few people pay taxes here. So that actually they see everything that comes, a lot of us see what we get from the government as a bonanza. Because we are actually not citizens. Most of us are subjects, we are not citizens. So if we are in this situation, I mean, I always laugh when people say that, oh, the chief should not accept the SUVs, or the KIE should not accept the bulls, and so on and so on. They should, of course, accept it. Because, I mean, you see, there's a lot of us that say that we have always to approach the public sphere within a certain rigorous sense of the kind of society we are in.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Anyeru. We will be concluding this session very soon. So we'll get a quick comment from
So I just cannot resist the temptation to comment on what Dr. Anyeru just said, insufficient information of the state. In other words, I think this can be described as a certain distortion of the theory of social contact within the Ghanaian context, which is the reason a lot of us here in this room do not feel we are part owners of a vital resource, oil and gas, that we're discussing today. And also one of the reasons why governments construct roads, provide water, schools, and the experts have to be show gratitude to them. In actual fact, if we did recognize the fact that we are the owners, we are the principals, and they who actually manage these are managing them on our behalf, they are our agents, then we recognize that they owe us a duty to report to us and to seek our input into whatever decisions they take in terms of how they manage these resources. So I think, yes, I agree with Dr. Imedu. We have some way to go in terms of that reawakening of that social consciousness that relates to ownership of natural resources, and the fact that we need to call the politicians to order, get them to listen to us and to do our wishes, even as they manage these resources on our behalf.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Mantia. Let me say that we have
to make sure that Ghana gets the optimum benefit from the exploitation of its God-given resource, oil and gas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. My abiding principle these days has a more formal statement, is the importance of small things. But I saw a sign on the Osuoso Street, which has become my saying, and it says, little is much. Little is much. I was at Atlantic Hotel here in Takoradi when the Vice President came to launch the Western Region Coastal Foundation. Now the Vice President gave us, a reality check on our oil. I mean, essentially what he was trying to do was to dampen expectations on the oil. And when the Vice President was making his speech, you could hear a pin drop. Thus, I guess my people in Takoradi were very, very disappointed. The first point to note is that we do not have an oil industry. We do not have an oil industry. I will not necessarily say that having a factory for condensates and fertilizers will make it an industry. But the point is that as of now, what we have are two oil firms, TEN and Jubilee. I mean, these two oil firms does not mean you have an industry. I think in 2008, right across, but I have a picture of it, I'll give it to Templars, but right across from this hotel, I saw a sign by one of the radio stations in Takoradi. It says, welcome to the oil system. And I remember putting it on my Facebook right then, that we should not have undue expectations. These days, I'm just a poor pensioner. All I organize are small conversations. Before I retired, I organized several conferences on oil, both in Accra and Takoradi. I've organized at least 6 conversations on oil. The third one was in Takoradi under the chairmanship of Nanan Ketia on the 4th of September 2009. And at that session, I think we had two arguments. essentially what I'll call the maximalist argument, would go something like, hey, this one is a big industry, very much like what Dr. Mantio is arguing here. I was in the camp of the minimalist, or the littlest much. I'll give you a practical example I gave them. Just before I went for the session at the sports club, I drove past a laundry. I'll not mention the laundry, but Tapadu will know. That laundry absolutely ran down. And I remember mentioning in my presentation that, look, the oil industry is a very dirty industry. This is a low-hanging fruit we can immediately catch up. I hope this laundry are strategizing towards getting part of the oil business. Well, let me tell you, as I speak to you now, that laundry has collapsed. The laundry is something else. And my information is that the laundering of the dirty clothes of the oil people is done by a subsidiary of one of the international oil service companies. You don't have to blame them. In fact, I significantly differ from Dr. Mantewin in this argument, civil society argument on oil. I fundamentally disagree with them. I think we should have fewer local content laws. As we sit here now, the oil city for our oil fields is not Tapuari. I've stayed in Tapuari consistently for about 2 years now. The oil city for our oil fields, as far as I'm concerned, is Abidjan. The oil city for our oil fields is Abidjan because Abidjan has more lax local content laws. We have to be realistic. In point of fact, Tapuari should not aspire to be an oil city. Tapuari should be a redemption city. Look at this beautiful hotel we are in. We have the highest concentration of hospitality in this country. As I told you, I've been in there for about a week and a half now. I've slept in several hotels. The supply of hotel hospitality in this country, in this city, is unmatched in this country. We've made our contribution to the creative economy. Tapuari should be the redemption city for Ghana. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This one, let's put our arms together. Thank you so much, Moses Adolfo, the Daily Graphic, Dr. Mantea, Dr. Nicholas. Thank you so much for your exciting contributions. So we are live on Star FM in Accra, Ultimate Massive Empire here in Tapuari. And the focus of our discussion is Does Oil and Gas Matter in Ghana's Election? And this is brought to us by Pen Plus Bites, which